1230 WSOO. It is 9:15, and we're joined on the phone with the president and CEO of My Michigan Medical Center, Sue, Kevin Kalchek. And Kevin, we were just checking in before we went on the air. It's been a little bit since the last time we were on the air, so good to have you back on, and how are things going?
No, good. I always appreciate you having me on here, so thank you very much for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're still continuing through the integration, migration with My Michigan Health. And one thing I told you, and I start out telling the entire community that, you know, change is hard. And, you know, we're going to hear a lot from the community as to thoughts in regards to what it should be and so forth. But at the end of the day, you know, I still 100% support this relationship with My Michigan. It is absolutely the best thing for our community mm-hmm. in the long term as we face challenges in healthcare, just as any other organization does.
Yeah, as we were talking before we went on the air, I said, you know, anytime you do any change in anything, whether it's a change in an organization like yours, or you know, something changes in your household, or you know, another business or whatever, sometimes those changes can be difficult, you know, but people adapt and everything, and a lot of times those changes are for the better. And it sounds like there's some things that are happening at the hospital that people really be able to see soon that are really positives.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's little things at first, but we have an old building. I talked about all of the infrastructure needs that we have at our hospital. And, you know, for those that have heard me talk about the county property, that's been finalized. And I want to thank all of the county commissioners for their support. They listen to their constituents, and that property is transferred over to the hospital now.
Mm-hmm.
And it allows us to just really invest in our own home again, rather than to the lessor. And you know, one of the things, you don't notice this, but we just put $500,000 into a roof on the ADA building.
I did see the Kaysner guys out in front of the building. You know, what did they do? Oh, they must be putting on doing some roof work at the hospital. So
that was a big portion of the 88 building, which is our newest building. And yeah, that's $500,000 project. And you know, other things that we want to see, projects that people can visually see, and of course they can't unless they're flying overhead. But
right.
You know, our nuclear medicine camera is over 10 years old right now, and that construction is going to start in the same place that it's at right now, but the construction for that is going to be at least $600,000, and then the camera itself is over $500,000. And without our relationships with, you know, without being a part of the My Michigan Health System, a lot of these things would be very difficult. So their support of our rural hospital is just very important.
So a little bit about, for people that don't know, including myself, what is a nuclear medicine camera? What is that piece of equipment able to do for folks?
You know, with stress tests, it's able to do testing on the heart.
Mm-hmm.
So just check for blockage, that type
of
thing.
Perfect.
So, yeah.
That's great. And I know another thing that, you know, that you and I have chatted about, you know, in the past months and everything, and I'm sure is still an issue because I hear about it a lot, is the staffing at the hospital. I mean, there's still, we hear about it around the country and everything, still a shortage of medical professionals, nursing, doctors and everything. How is the staffing at the hospital right now?
Oh, that's a long discussion. So the staffing here and everywhere is still very difficult. There's some areas that we've seen some improvement, and some areas that have had some decline. You know, our ultrasound techs, I think we have two, and then we have a couple that are travelers now. So that's been difficult. Nursing, to make sure that we have critical staffing set, we still have some travelers there.
Mm-hmm.
So nursing, ultrasound, CT techs, respiratory therapy, those are probably the heart pain points for us. And then what I think the community is hearing about right now is primary care access. We all know, I've talked a long time about Dr. Tetzloff retiring in December of 2024.
Right.
You know, when will Mackey or Achenfels retire? I'm not sure.
Hopefully not
soon,
right?
We're trying to recruit. Huh?
Hopefully not soon, right?
No. And you know, we did just lose Dr. Korzecki and Dr. Sawyer and Dr. Paulson, all for different reasons. Dr. Mm-hmm. Sawyer, I think, wanted to not have the full community responsibility of on-call, and mm-hmm. so he's joining the VA here locally. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Korzecki, I'm not sure what her plans are. And then Dr. Paulson was a pediatrician, just moved closer to home. But
Dr. O'Connor retired recently, so.
Yeah, he's doing just more inpatient work. But although right. Dr. O'Connor is very supportive of our community, and he just came in and talked to me over the past couple weeks about, hey, I'd be willing to do some outpatient work again just to, you know, try to help cover some of the slack until we can get more people in here again. Mm-hmm. So that's just, you know, amazing of him and the, you know, Dr. Chander and Achenfels and Tetzloff and, you know, and Mackey. They've always just been such community-driven physicians.
Right, 100%.
And that's what we need to recruit in the future. We need to do the best that we can to find like-minded people that are just, you know, yeah, they're here, they're making a living, but they're being a physician for all of the right reasons.
Right, and it's amazing because you think of like a Dr. Mackey, Dr. Tetzloff, and everything. They've been here so long, they have established roots in the community and everything, you know, and you think of like Dr. Tetzloff. Now, his son is a doctor in the community and everything, and so that's, you want to, I would imagine that having the almost the, like the offspring of some of these doctors, if they become doctors, trying to get them to come here to kind of keep that, you know, local tie to the community. And I know that that's happened a little bit, right?
Oh, absolutely. Dr. Tetzloff is a, his son, Dr. Dan Tetzloff, is a psychologist, and mm-hmm. he works for our behavioral health program for about, I would say 8 years. His mm-hmm. his wife, Dr. Tetzloff, daughter-in-law, Lisa Tetzloff, works with Dr. Reckner in genetics, and she's a nurse practitioner, and mm-hmm. she's a local girl mm-hmm. from Sioux High. We have Dr. Vishnu Chander, who's Dr. Chander's son. Dr. Amo mm-hmm. was Sarah Caruso growing up. So Dr. Eby, Megan Eby, was from the Sioux. So
we're getting
some people back, and it's great. We have mm-hmm. and we have a number of other people that we need to try to get back. I mean, you know, Kyle Burton, he's going to be in. I think he's in his last year of med school right now, then into residency. Kyle Wiseman, I don't know if we'll be able to get him, but he's in urology. Mm-hmm. I mean, Dr. Reckner's daughter is in med school. My daughter's in med school. And, you know, we're going to do everything we can
sure.
to get to really reach out to any student, not just our kids, but mm-hmm. if there's local students, we're trying to reach out to them and keep track of them and get them, you know, to come back here. We, you know, I love this community. And it's just unfortunate that some people, as you're recruiting them, they're not from here. They just don't have the same appreciation. You know, it's too far away from this. It's too far away from that. But I think all of the positive definitely outweighs that.
Well, I was saying, then I think that's the one thing about recruiting, you know, like a Dr. Amo, like a Dr. Chander or whatever, the children that have grown up in these communities and everything in this community, you don't have to sell them on the town. They know it. It's like, we don't have to say, oh, here's this. We have the Sioux Locks. They already know that stuff. So it's just getting mm-hmm. them to come back home and practice in their hometown.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, us reaching out to let them know they're important throughout the process, because mm-hmm. it's a marathon, not a sprint for them. It's a lot of dedication to get through med school, that's for sure.
And beyond med school and everything, I know that there's a commitment by the hospital to help train, like you've got the MA program and everything, which has been ongoing and everything. Are you still getting some good response in that too?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, are we getting as much as we want? No.
Mm-hmm.
But without that program, without our certified nurse aid program, we'd be definitely struggling even more. You know, and I think I've spoken about this before, us committing and to our youth, to our the education process is so important, and partnering, and we're working with Bay Mills and Lake State still. And again, I think I told you in the last time we talked, I was probably the most positive, energetic meeting that I had with Bay Mills and Lake State and our hospital
right.
to try to really develop more programs, and that's what we have to do, give our youth opportunities here and reasons to stay.
Well, I know that one of the things that we talked about before was trying to reinvigorate the LPN program at Lake State, which
yep.
it was there for a while. And I know that also trying to work with that with Bay Mills, and even beyond that, you know, working with like the program at the high school at the Career Center and everything, you know, and supporting those kids that are in the Allied Health program, you know, trying to encourage them to, you know, pursue, you know, health as a career.
No, absolutely. It definitely takes a village, and you're absolutely right. Starting with Allied Health and letting kids know what opportunities there are, and then having Bay Mills and Lake State and us partner in bringing that LPN program. And again, not just the LPN program, but that's going to be the start. I have confidence in that, and I'd like to continue to update you on that each time we go along.
100%, yeah. 100, well, that's, like I say, my wife's an LPN. She went through that program at Lake State and everything, and that's really been a thing that changed our family, you know, with her, you know, pursuing that career and everything. So it'd be great to see other people, you know, to be able to, you know, access that. And I would imagine if you could do that, it would help, you know, at least put a little bit of a dent in the staffing situation. So,
yeah. I'm going to change gears just a little bit, if it's all right, because,
sure,
you know, those outside projects are important. We're going to be updating some paving out front, some parking lot areas. But, you know, I've already heard somebody ask me, you know, just over this weekend, hey, are the rumors true about the hospital purchasing Malcolm School? And that is true. We're going to close on that this month sometime.
Mm-hmm.
And you might wonder, what are we going to use it for? Well, again, it goes back to having opportunities to really get beyond that, us being, you know, just restricted in regards to our land boundaries.
Sure.
And if we're ever going to put radiation oncology in and expand primary care, we're going to need to have places to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in very close proximity. It's adjacent to our Magazine Street primary care.
Sure.
So it made good sense. And then also I'm going to, you know, work with the city manager and commissioners on seeing how can we get ahead of that parking structure and maybe find some way for us to purchase or transfer that to the hospital.
Mm.
And that would really solidify our campus. I'm excited about both of those.
Now, with the Malcolm building, would that be something that you would renovate, or is that something that you would remove the building and then build something new there?
I wish I could answer that. It's a little bit premature,
mm-hmm,
to be able to answer that. I just know that
it's a big building.
As we look forward, yeah, it is, and it's a beautiful, you know, historic building,
mm-hmm,
but does it meet the needs of healthcare? I'm not really sure. Would it meet the needs if we were to have move some of the non-clinical areas, such as myself, even off of campus?
Sure.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of remains to be seen.
Absolutely. We're talking to Kevin Kalchek, the president and CEO of My Michigan Medical Center. Sue, what I know some of the other things that we've talked that are going to be taking place in the future. I know a big project that's I think is probably coming up fairly soon is the transferring over to the Epic Medical Records Program. When do you plan on starting that, and how long of a process is that going to be?
That's actually started. We're getting different training levels. They call them credential trainers and different things like that. But they're actually being trained right now. That's been initiated for physicians just this past couple weeks. And then the Epic Go Live will actually be April 6th, I believe. So there's a lot of work to do between now and then. But that's going to really help us from a quality perspective, in the sense that we'll be able to measure, see where things are happening, and be able to make corrections, be consistent with the other member hospitals and so forth.
Yeah, because from what I understand, that's really kind of the in fact, from what I've been told, a lot of the doctors that are, you know, training in medical school and everything are learning on that Epic program, and to have that available as you're doing recruiting, I would imagine it would be a recruiting thing as well.
Absolutely. Most major health systems are on Epic. My Michigan Health is on Epic. We're the only hospital at this point that is not. And it will absolutely, if they're comfortable and familiar with the electronic health record, that'll help them. You know, just as it is now, it would be difficult for us to recruit any type of surgeon if we didn't have a robot.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But,
anything else you want to add, Kevin?
Well, you know, I talked to you a little bit about this. I'm going to just, you know, I talk about, you know, just the community perception, and you and I were talking about the rants and raves, and I just want to take an opportunity to say to the, you know, your listening viewers, that, you know, recently I look at how fortunate we are to have our community hospital, and I just want to say this again, I'm so proud of everybody that I work with and the access to care that we do have. Instead of looking at what we don't have or the difficulties that people struggle with at time, I prefer to look at the positive. And a good example is my daughter was diagnosed with AML in the past month and a half, and she's down in Grand Rapids at med school. And if it hadn't been for our local access, she still wouldn't be diagnosed. But because they didn't have the access down in Grand Rapids for her, she drove up to the Sioux and saw the, you know, our Dr. Duman for bone marrow biopsy, Dr. Sardar for, you know, hematology, you know, for the blood work that she has, and all of the oncology department, and it allowed her to be diagnosed 2 months earlier than she would have been down there because she couldn't get into anybody. And so I just want to take an opportunity to thank everybody that I work with and everybody that they do for providing that type of access to our community day in and day out. We, regardless of what some of the minority says, we're very fortunate to have this hospital and these services up here.
Well, and as I said to you, and I'll say to you here on the air, you know, obviously our thoughts are with you and your family and obviously your daughter and everything as she goes through that and everything. That can't be an easy thing, especially after her just, you know, getting married over the summer. But, you know, I think it's important, too, to remember for people that it's easy to throw stones at things like that that you maybe don't understand, you know, and it's easy for people to complain, and they do it an awful lot, and it seems like with the advent of the internet and message boards, and I think it's fine for people to voice their opinions and everything, but until you actually, you know, be thankful that we have this hospital, and my gosh, I can't imagine life without it here in the community and everything. I mean, we're very fortunate. Is it perfect? I don't think you would say it's perfect, you know, but it's great. It's a fantastic asset to the community. You know, are there going to be hiccups? Sure, there's going to be hiccups. Yep. But I mean, you know what? I mean, if we didn't have it, I mean, it would be horrible. And so I think I think a lot of people are easy to throw stones just because, you know, maybe they had one bad experience or something like that, or maybe they didn't understand the situation why they had to wait for a while because, you know, and that's, you know, that's fine, you know, but I mean, be patient. And I don't mean to be I don't mean to use a pun, you know, be patient as a patient, but I mean, really, I mean, sometimes you just have to think, you know, there might be something else going on here, and maybe that's why I'm having to wait. So, but
yeah, and if I can, I don't want to just talk about the hospital in that regard. I want to talk about, you know, I'd like to just put a plug in for our public school system, our university.
For sure, absolutely.
The leaders that step up in our communities at the county commission level and at the city commission level.
Sure.
You know, let's just take time to thank them and everything that we have in this community and, you know, be proud of that because I am.
Yeah, as am I. I mean, we're so fortunate. You know, my wife and I, we talk a lot about because when I moved here almost 30 years ago, it wasn't my intention to stay in Sault Ste. Marie for 30 years, you know. But, you know, like this community, it gets into your system and everything. It's a great community, you know. I love it here. It's my new home. And we were very fortunate to raise our kids here. We think they turned out pretty darn good. You know, we're pretty proud of them. And, you know, it's like I sometimes just don't understand the people that complain about this community because maybe they just aren't taking advantage or maybe they're just people that like to complain. I mean, there's people like that, too. I don't know. But, I mean, I think the vast majority of people, Kevin, and you probably would agree with this, is that are appreciative of the good things we have. We've got a great, you know, we don't have a lot of crime. We don't have a lot of the other troubles that other bigger communities have, you know. And we do have a really strong hospital. We've got a strong school system. We've got a state university that a lot of communities don't have, you know. We've got a great partner city across the river in Sioux, Ontario that's a you know, valuable, you know, commodity to those of us that live here in the Eastern Upper Peninsula. You know, we've got some beautiful natural resources. We've got four seasons. I mean, what about more could we ask for?
It's like, no, and again, that just brings me, you know, thank you and everybody like you that is so positive about our community, because we have some great people here, you know, just some very nice, dedicated, hardworking people, and I'm glad to be a part of this community.
As am I, 100%, and we love it here, and we're not going anywhere. So, but Kevin, again, thoughts and prayers out to your family, man. I know that's, you know.
Thanks. Mackenzie, she's a great girl, and she's fighting, and her husband Brandon, they're being strong, and Yep, I appreciate it. We'll take all prayers.
Absolutely. And we'll look forward to it, to getting more updates from you next month and everything. We'll get back on track with our interviews
all
and
right.
everything. And have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon.
Great. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Kevin Kalchek, the president and CEO of My Michigan Medical Center, Sue, joining us this morning here on 1230 WSOO.